Everybody take your Bibles, please, and turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. And we're going to read several verses. I'm going to have you turn several places in your Bible. Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 13. And also we're going to go to Proverbs 11, verse 1. But we're going to start out in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. And like I said, we're going to start out reading verse 13. The Bible says in Luke 12, 13, it says, "And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he may divide his inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed, and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not of the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God saith unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So he layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich towards God. And he saith unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, Take no thought for your life, what shall ye eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. For life is more than meat, and the body more than raiment. And then Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 1. The Bible says, A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just take control tonight. And Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help everything. Just control my thoughts, control my words, and Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just meet with us tonight, and I pray that you just help us to learn from your word. Dear Heavenly Father, you promised that your word will not return void, but Dear Heavenly Father, we want to learn from you, not from me, but from you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the thing about it is I'm going to talk tonight about keeping in right focus, keeping in right focus. You know, sometimes we can get busy and in a rut, and we tend to lose focus on what we should be focused on. And the deal is we need to make sure that we stay in focus. And sometimes that means to make constant corrections. I remember the time growing up where we went to church in Pasco, Washington. And my dad was one of the cameramen. And anyways, it was big enough where they would record the services, and you could buy the cassette tapes and the big VHS tapes and whatnot. Later on, they put them on the internet. But the thing about it is that I remember it was always interesting to try and get a special speaker that moved around a lot, kind of like the missionary from last week. And anyways, he was a mover and a shaker. And but anyways, the cameraman, it was a hard time. You had to constantly focus. And Pastor Buckle was like that in the Institute, always moving around. I tell you what, sometimes it was hard because you had to focus and you had to move, and it took constant correction. And the thing about it is that in the Christian life, if we get out of focus, Satan can get us headed down the wrong path. And so tonight we're going to talk about keeping in the right focus. I remember when we moved here, Brother Lee, some of you have met him, and he helped us move over here. He pulled me aside and he said, you can do what you want, but if I was you, what I'd do is right now, when you're first here, I'd sit and write out a list of goals as far as where you want to be in the next few years, what you want to accomplish as far as what God would have you accomplish, and write out a list of priorities. Base them all off of scripture verses, include scripture verses, and basically what are you wanting to, what are you wanting through God accomplish? And the thing about it is that it's real easy to kind of get caught up in things and then lose focus of what God wants you to do. And turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. We're going to read verses 15 through 17. The Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in this world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away for the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever." See, the truth of the matter is that it's real easy to get sucked up in the pride of life, everybody knows we have to have money for bills, we've got to work and whatnot. But the truth of the matter is that if we're not careful, we'll get sucked up in the cares of this world. We'll get sucked up in the pride of life, and we'll get into we all work with different people that, you know what, their goal is to get a fancy car, or their goal is to get a big house, or their goal is to have the nicest clothes, or their goal is to have, and they have all these goals, but the truth of the matter is they're not the goals that we as Christians should have. And if we're walking with God, we're going to have different goals, because we're going to have goals of walking with God. We're going to have goals of reading our Bible every day. We're going to have goals of having a prayer life and not just a prayer time. We're gonna have goals of seeing souls saved. The youth pastor this morning, I forgot his name, this morning preached about. And the truth of the matter is, we're gonna have goals based on the Bible, not necessarily the goals of this world. And if we're not careful, we can get all those things. We can sidetrack us and keep us out of focus. You know, the thing about it is that as I read the Bible and as I listen to preaching and as I listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and whatnot, I find that constant corrections need to be made. Now, maybe you guys are more spiritual than I am, but I could find myself constantly going off track. And the teenagers, it seems like everywhere I go, the teenagers tease me about this. In New Jersey, I'd get off track on my Sunday school lessons, and they'd be like, "Squirrel!" And anyways, because it's a long story, but I'll explain it to you sometime. And then even the teenagers here, they heard that story, and so they thought that sounded fun, and so now they start saying it. But the thing about it is that it's easy to get off track, and it's easy to get out of focus. But the thing about it is that if we're walking with God, if we're reading our Bibles, if we're in church when we're supposed to, and listen, we can make those constant corrections that will keep us in focus. And see, the thing about it is that without God, life is pretty much a meaningless journey. This is where we get grumpy and irritable. And I'll be honest with you, believe it or not, I can get grumpy. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? Most of the time, it's because maybe I haven't been as close to God as I really should be. Maybe I haven't been yielding to Him like I should be. And so now my wife is going to be using that as ammo next time I'm grumpy. "You're not walking with God like you should." But anyways, no, she wouldn't do that, because I'd point it right back at her. But anyways, the truth of the matter is that, listen, this kind of a journey of being out of focus will not provide happiness. It's being focused on our Savior that provides happiness, not being caught up with the cares of this world and not being caught up with the pride of life. Here's the thing is, those people that they're more worried about, look at my clothes and look at my car. People love to do that. But here's the thing is, when they make that first payment, all of a sudden, the sinking feeling. You know, I got a kick out of New Jersey. They're all driving around Lamborghinis and Maseratis and all this other stuff. And I'm thinking, you know what? I couldn't even afford the insurance on that, much less the actual payment. But the truth of the matter is that's not what makes us successful. And if we get focused on those things, if we get focused on the big house, if we get focused on whatever it is as far as materialistic goes, truth of the matter is we're not successful. What happens is we've got out of focus, and we need to get back in focus on the Savior and what He wants us to accomplish. This is why God talks about the mind of Christ. We need to have the mind of Christ as far as our goals and our focus and what we strive for. And so, because to be honest with you, your possessions end up possessing you. And people...
And here's the thing is people tend to neglect God to get what they want when it comes down to materialism. I tell you what, if I work that extra overtime on Sunday, you know what, I'm going to get double time and a half or whatever your job is offering. And you know what, and then I can, Aaron's down there laughing. He's like, I wish I got double time and a half. But the thing about it is that if I can just skip this, you know what, and what happens is when we start getting out of focus and focusing on possessions, we start neglecting God in order to get what we want. We think, you know what? Man, I tell you what, that tithe, let's see, if I tithe, or if I didn't tithe for a year, I could buy a new car. And all these things, but the truth of the matter is that, you know what? That will not make us happy. That will not make us successful, and we're out of focus if that is our goals. You know, we need to stay focused on God. Romans chapter 6, And verse 12, we're going to read a few verses here. This passage right here, my youth pastor, when I was growing up, loved this passage because it was a powerful passage. And he always tried to find a way of making us memorize it and going over it. Anyways, Romans chapter 6 and verse 12, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself to God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." I wonder who we're yielding to tonight. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of them because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants unto righteousness, unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from unrighteousness. So the thing about it is we need to make sure that our desires and what we yield to is in balance. Because the thing about it is too many times we as Christians, like I said, we yield ourselves to what seems right. We yield ourselves to what feels right. We yield ourselves instead of yielding to what is right. And, you know, to be honest with you, too many times Christians nowadays, and we see this not so much in our church, not so many much in churches like ours, but in churches using the vague term all across America, instead of determining out of the Word of God what is right, that, you know what, I just don't feel like that is right. And the truth of the matter is that they're yielding themselves over to their desires rather than figuring out from the Word of God what those desires should be. Because the truth of the matter is when we get our desires out of balance or out of focus, those desires end up destroying us. And that is why Satan tries to get us out of focus. And Mary and Martha needed focus. You know what? It seems like, here's the thing is, I can just see this, you know, one's serving and one's at the feet of Jesus. And you know what? Here's the thing is, I just know people and maybe how I'd feel if I was there look at them over there. They're just sitting there and they're not doing anything and I'm serving and we need to get in focus. We need to, you know what? Here's the thing is, what I found a long time ago is I remember in college, you know, they tell you, duty's never conflict. I'm thinking, you've never been in the ministry. But you know what I found is a lot of times that if I just plan ahead, I can plan to the point where those duties, for the most part, never conflict. And the truth of the matter is, I wonder if we need to make sure that we plan ahead so that we have time to sit at the feet of Jesus and serve at the same time. Because the thing about it is if we just serve, we're out of focus. We need the power of God, but if we just sit at the feet of Jesus, we're out of focus as well. We need that focus or that balance to sit at the feet of Jesus, get the power and the nourishment and everything, and pass it on in the ministry. Here's the thing is, the ministry is people. You know, I've told you about it before. I got a kick out of the guy I went to college with. He's like, you know what? I want to be in the ministry, and I like it and everything, but man, I wish there wasn't people involved. It's like, that is the ministry, you know. It's like, wasn't the brightest, you know. Wheel spinning, but the hamster's dead, you know. I don't know. But anyways, here's the thing is that we need to have focus. Now, notice back in Luke chapter 12 and verse 17. Luke chapter 12 and verse 17. Notice this. The Bible says, I turned to the wrong passage. 12:17, it says, and he thought within himself. You know, here's the first problem right here is that this man left God out of his decision as if he was in control of his own life and future. He thought to himself, where's the prayer involved? Where's the seeking God's will? See, the thing about it is this man developed, or this man's sin developed into four things. Number one is pride. He thought within himself, you know what? I can decide. You know what the first thing that I think of when I think of pride and start using the word I a lot? Maybe the fall of Satan from heaven. I'll be like the Most High. Man, how many I's did he use? And I tell you what, you know what? He was more worried about being successful in man's eyes than being worried about being successful in God's eyes. Who are we worried about tonight? Are we worried about, well, you know what? I don't want so-and-so to think that, well, wait a minute here, what does God think? What does God think? What does God say in his word? And I'll be honest with you, you know what? I don't want to be a stumbling block to anybody, and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to use it as a license to just do whatever, but at the same point in time is we should be more worried about what God thinks than what man thinks. What does God say? That, you know, here's the thing is, I was talking to, I can't remember who I was talking to the other day, but it was about friends. And you know, the thing about it is that there's more examples of bad friends leading us down the wrong path than there are good friends leading down the wrong path. And there's a whole lot more examples of people just standing alone saying, you know what, I only remain. You know what, we need to have, I'll be honest with you, Christianity needs more Christians that are willing to stand up and say, you know what, I don't care what anybody else thinks, there may be 450 prophets of Baal, there may be 400 prophets of the Grove, I don't care. Hey, listen, y'all are going down, I know my God. And the truth of the matter is you know what, we need to get back to the point where we say, hey, listen, I don't care what the world thinks. You know what, you can think I'm a fuddy-duddy, you can think I'm a Bible thumper, you can think all that you want to think, but hey, listen, you're the one miserable. You're the one heading down the wrong path. And listen, we should try and love them and encourage them. But hey, listen, at the same point in time, I'm not going to apologize for the word of God. I'm not going to waver on my stand. I'm not going to try and impress them, because the truth of the matter is who we should impress is the very God of heaven, the one that loved us so much that he'd come down to this earth, die on a cross for my sins. You know what? Grace. How can I ever thank God for his grace and his mercy for me? You know what? If you knew me growing up, you'd think, boy, that if anybody deserves punishment, it's that kid right there. And some of you still say that very thing. No, just joking. But here's the thing is, you know what? Grace and mercy. He's the one that we should be trying to impress. He's the one that we should be living for. He's the one that we should be focused on. I tell you what, when you look at salvation, that alone is just phenomenal. But yet, too many times, we get all self-centered. We get focused on ourselves. John chapter 12 and verse 32, the Bible says, "And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw men unto me." And that's the words of Jesus. The truth of the matter is, those weren't the words of man. Here's the thing: is if I lift myself up, you know what happens? Nothing. There's no draw from me. Who am I? I'm a sinner saved by grace. And you know what? Who am I? Nothing without Christ. I was lost and dead in my trespasses and sin when Jesus found me. Who am I? I'm nothing. So if I lift myself up, what do I have? Nothing. But if I lift him up, you know what? That's when something happens. But too many times we get self-centered and we fill ourselves with pride and we start looking in and saying, you know what? Well, I don't have and I don't. And you know what's funny is pride is always followed by the covetous spirit. A covetous spirit is always produced as worry about protecting me. Never satisfied. And it has an attitude and thoughts of materialism and look, you know what? I just can't believe it. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. Think I'll go eat worms. You know, and I won't torture you with the rest of the song. But here's the thing is, you know what? Pride. Psalms chapter 62. The Bible says in verse 10, Psalm 62 to 10, the Bible says, Trust not in opposition and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. The thing about it is, what's interesting is that we all seem to know how to handle tough times. I'll be honest with you. It seems like tough times, you know what? We're all good at running to God and during tough times. And we should be, at least. But you know what's interesting is those good times that we have a hard time with. You think, wait a minute, how could that be? Because good times you'd be able to serve God better and you'd be able to... No, what happens is we fail on the things that should be the easiest. Well, things are going great and I've got a job and I've got this and you know what? I tell you what, things are going good for me. Then how come we get to the point where we think that we don't need God? How come it's during the good times that we have a hard time with our church attendance? How come it's during the good times that we have a hard time with our prayer and Bible reading? How come we don't run to God during the good times like we do in the bad times? Here's the thing is sometimes I wonder if maybe God gives me hard times more often than not just to keep me on my knees and keep me walking with God. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. At that point in time, if that's what it takes to drive me closer to God, then you know what? I'm better off in poverty. I'm better off in opposition. I'm better off in trial and trouble and heartache because I'm closer to God. But see, the thing about it is sometimes we fail at the good times and God has to get our attention a little bit. And so we need to take and keep our eyes focused even during the good times. Most of the time people say, you know what? Keep focused during the bad times. I'll be honest, I don't know about you, but I have a harder time being focused during the good times than I do the hard times. Because it seems like when your knees get knocked out or when your legs get knocked out from under you, you're already on your knees and so the natural thing is to just pray. But when you're standing up and you think things are going great, human nature kicks in and says, you're doing pretty good for yourself. No, let's stay focused. We need to make sure that we keep focused on God. We need to learn how to adjust. Here's the thing is, you know what? I remember all kinds of sermons growing up about being teachable. Teachable. We need to get to the point where, you know what? We're not so hard-hearted and proud that we can't be taught. You know, here's the thing is, I'll be honest with you, it's real easy, especially when you've been a Christian for so long, to hear fiery preaching from the Word of God and think, you know what, man, my wife really needs a sermon. And most of the time she does, not joking. But anyways, and you look around the room and you think, so-and-so, I tell you what, if they just listen to the sermon the whole time, the Holy Spirit's, hey, dummy, it's for you. And anyways, I'm too busy looking around the room trying to figure out, oh, so-and-so, no. Hey, it's me. It's me. It's just like the song. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my mother, not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. You know what? It's time that we as Christians start drawing a circle around ourselves and saying, hey, listen, I'm not going to be worried about sister so-and-so. I'm not going to be worried about brother, whoever he is. You know what? I'm going to be worried about, when it comes down to the preaching of God's word, I'm not going to be worried about them. I'm going to be worried about what does God have for me? Because the truth of the matter is, you know what? If I'm looking around, most of the time I need it more than sister so-and-so. We need to stay focused on God's word. And being focused on what God wants instead of what I want. And I'm just going to give you the points real quick and then I'll close. Second thing it brings is our goals become our God. When we start getting our goals tainted and out of focus, they become our God instead of the true God. And next thing, your possessions will possess you, and your desires will destroy you. But here's the thing, is being in focus will provide us a clear picture of love, mercy, and grace of our God. It will make us valuable and useful for the service of the King. You know, we were taking pictures for the church directory. You know what's interesting is I wasn't that skilled at a camera. And, you know, some of the pictures I had to take four or five times just to get a clear one. And now that I know that Brother Ralph is real good with the camera, I think next time he's doing it. But the thing about it is, you know what's interesting about a picture? If it's out of focus, it's hard to use. If it's out of focus, you look at that and say, I can't tell if that's a boy or a girl. You know, it's a fuzzy blob. And that's Sister So-and-so right there in the directory. And no, but we didn't do that. But anyways, the thing about it is that, listen, when we get out of focus, God has a harder time using us because we're not yielded over to Him. And so, basically, I want to leave with you this thought tonight is, what are we focused on? Are we focused on our Savior? Are we focused on ourselves? Are we focused on the world? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God. And dear Heavenly Father, I know that a lot of times I go into the Word and it seems like I've got a lot to work on. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the Holy Spirit and His leading and guiding and directing. And dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the preaching of the Word at this church and that we preach out of the Bible and you're given free reign. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for not giving up on me. And Dear Heavenly Father, I know so many times that man would have given up on me, but you didn't. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love, your mercy, and your grace. And Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help me to focus on you and stay focused on you. Help me to make those constant corrections that need to be made so that I maintain my goals and my thoughts and my desires towards you. Please work in the invitation. In Jesus' name, Pastor.